Exclusive access to the Stratford Fringe.
This must be Stratcast Radio.
Wayne will join me on Monday for some cracking broadcasting fun. It's going to be brilliant. If you listened to Stratcast Lunch last Tuesday, you would have heard us talk about how we're going to give away these tickets, right? I'm going to give away some tickets to the Odd Low Hanlon. And who knew I would actually get some, which is brilliant. But not only that, not only are you going to go and see Odd Low Hanlon, I'm going to throw two tickets in for Reverb as well. And you're thinking, what the hell's Reverb? Reverb. Get on the website, stratcast.co.uk, right? Click on the big Reverb banner and you can see some cracking local talent from Stratford. It's absolutely brilliant. One of the bands that we featured are Basement Services. They are playing another gig in the NCP car park, which I think is brilliant, in the basement of the NCP car park on Thursday, which is just amazing. I can't believe how good that is. So for all of that, all you need to do is go onto the website. It's stratcast.co.uk. There's loads of other good stuff there as well. Check out our show that we did on Tuesday. It's brilliant.
Stratcast Lunch, live from the Stratford Fringe.
I'm joined by Ginny Davis. Now, Ginny, you've got two plays this week. Not one, but two. We're going to talk first about the 10 questions, which looks absolutely phenomenal. Now, we've just had a little chat, and you said this is probably more for people maybe that appreciate theatre a bit more.
Yeah, it's... I think it's pure theatre. It's a one-woman show, and it's called 10 Questions because it contains 10 questions. The person who has to answer them is a counsellor.
Yeah.
So she's somebody who normally asks questions, but this is kind of turning things on their head for her.
Yeah.
She suddenly has to answer the kind of questions she would normally ask. And I think that puts the audience into the position of thinking, yeah, what would I answer? So you get the story of this woman's life, and it's not an orthodox story. It's kind of like a journey, and there's a Greek shock in the middle,
yeah.
Which is most... Well, it's not going to be unexpected now, is it? Because I've just said there's a big shock in the middle. But in the context of the play, you know, you're not expecting it at all. It's suddenly, there's a sudden sort of turning point in the middle of the play. You think you're coming to one thing, and then it turns into something completely different.
Yeah.
It's got... the original writer is a Romanian... A woman called Anna Maria Bamberger. She came to see me at the Edinburgh Fringe last summer and liked the play that I was performing, and said, "Would we like to do a project together?"
Yeah.
So that's how. What she did then was send me the original script of 10 questions, and I reworked it for an English-speaking audience. So it's a joint project between the two of us. She is a doctor as well as a playwright, and so there is a medical context, which is kind of giving a hint as to what the terrible shock might be.
Yeah.
But I'm still not going to tell you.
Oh, well, but I'm really, like, I love theatre and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think some of the stuff that's coming to the Fringe,
yeah.
it looks really, really good. And I've only just come across this, and I don't know how I've missed it. It looks really, really good. And I am going to try and come to this if I can get tickets, because it's so, like, loads of places selling out already tickets
for yeah.
the Fringe, and it's really, really good. So it's directed by Tim Willis. What?
Tim Willis is the artistic director of the Loft Theatre in Leamington Spa.
Yeah.
He is a man with a massive theatrical sort of pedigree. He trained at Mount View, and then he went and did a lot of... performances as an actor himself in the West End. He did the Rocky Horror Show. Trying to think of any other plays he's been in. Fiddler on the Roof, all in the West End. Then he moved to the Midlands and he became the director of productions at the Talisman Theatre in Kenilworth. And now he's at the Loft. So I'm really honoured, actually, to have somebody with Tim's sort of insight into theatre directing this play.
Yeah. What do you think makes this, though? Because you, like, I'm not trying to, say, oh, you're just amazing, you're amazing.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Looking at the other plays, they sell out all the time at the Fringe,
yeah.
like the Edinburgh Fringe,
yeah.
which obviously is a really hard thing to do. Like,
yeah.
some people go to the Fringe and they either really make it or really don't. And from just looking at the other side of your flight, I looked at the one side and it just looks like your typical flight. The other side, all I can see are stars from, like, the British Theatre Guide, 3 weeks, Fringe Review, and, like, the Scotsman saying it's absolutely like observant, sharp comedy for your other one. What do you think really makes this?
Well, the play you're talking about on the other side of my fire is Double Booked, which I'm performing next week. And the difference between these two plays is that Double Booked has already been performed at an Edinburgh Fringe, and therefore it's already been reviewed. 10 Questions was a world premiere in Brighton last week. So I haven't yet had the chance to put all the sort of rave reviews on the flyer.
But I take it went down really, really well.
It did go down really, really well. There's a lovely review. I'm not going to say what my reviews. I'm not going to say that out loud.
I'm too
modest to do that. But there was a lovely review from gscene.com, and who really got it. It's very interesting reading the reviews because they all had a very different take on 10 questions. But Double Booked, I mean, a lot of it, to be honest, is how much work you put into marketing a play.
Yeah.
I had a friend who said to me a few years ago about my first trip to Edinburgh, and I said to her, surely if you've got a good play, it doesn't matter how good your marketing is. And she said, no, it's the absolute reverse. It doesn't matter how good your play is if your marketing is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was a revelation to me. So I go out and hand flyers, put people's flyers into people's hands, and you know, and let them know it's on.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is tremendously useful, because if people don't know about a play, they can't come and see it, however good it is.
And I think it's great as well, because like we've met a lot of different actors and things on different things we've done. Like we've broadcast from the Royal Opera House and things, and a lot of people are very... they won't, if they were an actor, they don't go out and hand out flyers. And I think it's absolutely great that you get and do it, because I think that's something that destroys theatre, that people kind of, it's not their job. And I really like the fact that everyone, you're getting everyone involved, and you're so proud of the something that you've written as well. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
This is Stradcast Radio.
Right then, Jenny. So we talked a bit about your other play, which is 10 Questions.
Yeah.
Which you've been very modest about, and I'm sure I'm going to, obviously when you go, have a check at all these reviews, because it sounds absolutely brilliant. I love the idea of just, it's a one-person play, and I think to be able to do that, to hold yourself for that long, is great. Now, Double Booked, you obviously already premiered at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about what the play... Okay. is about as a whole?
Double Booked is a play about a family. It's supposed to be sort of everyday, normal family. There's a mum, a dad. Dad gets everything wrong. Mum tries to hold everything together. And they've got three children, aged 21, 17 and 15. And mum falls into the trap of competing with her children's friends' parents. This is not a good plan. Timmy's mum is a social climbing snob. She's also surgically enhanced. She was a double D cup. She's now a double F cup. And Timmy's mum's son, Timmy, has been sent to boarding school. Timmy's mum decides to make a bit of an advantage of this because she likes showing off about the fact that he's at a posh school. So she asks Ruth to come. Unfortunately, Ruth also gets asked to go and see her own mum. So there is a conflict there of which she should do. Her own son then gets a detention, and she doesn't want to have to own up to the fact that he's got a detention, so she tells a little lie. And this is where it all kicks off, really, because in order to save face and keep up appearances with Timmy's mum, she tells this lie about why she can't go to the concert. She gets in an awful mess, and what she doesn't realise is that Timmy's mum also has a secret to hide. So these two lies collide. Meanwhile, the son is also not entirely honest about why he got a detention, so that's three lies. And other people are not being very truthful either. So the whole, all these lies come together, and they're all the kind of thing which could happen, and does happen, I think, in every family. You think you're just telling a tiny little sort of porky just to sort of make things easier for yourself, and before you know what, you're in a real mess. And real mess is what comedy is made of, I think.
Absolutely. I've just seen on here Outnumbered, as mentioned.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit like that. It sounds a bit better, actually.
Thank you.
I love Outnumbered. I love the young kids in there. I think they're great. And it's slightly improvised as well, which I quite like.
Yeah.
But this sounds absolutely brilliant, because I think, especially, it sounds like a good family show as well.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's not a lot for teenagers to go and see without it either being really Shakespearean and some people find that quite boring. Or it's the other way, where it's all musical, 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 everything's in flashing lights. This sounds really, really funny. It sounds like it would be a great thing for TV as well. But I don't know, it looks absolutely brilliant. What are the kids like then? I'm really interested in what the kids are like.
Freddie is 15. He's a normal boy. He's a bit stroppy. He's not terribly communicative. I think that sums up Freddie. He's a 15-year-old. You know, he's going through that stage, really. Yeah. His elder sister, Ellie, she's trouble, really, Ellie. I mean, she'll get away with everything she possibly can. She's a middle child, and middle children, I think, often do what they can to get attention, and often it's not always the best thing they can think of to do, so they can be quite challenging. Laura, the eldest child, is 21. She's away at uni. And you don't hear much about Laura until the very last scene, when it's actually my favourite scene in the play, when the whole thing is pulled together. They've all had to go out for a meal. So everybody who shouldn't be out for this meal in the same place at the same time is. And Laura's outburst about the fact that she and her boyfriend have split up is my favourite moment of the play. I love performing it. I love playing this sort of stroppy 21-year-old who's got a story to tell, and she gives Timmy's mum a few home truths as well. So I love performing double booked. I did it throughout the Edinburgh Fringe. There was 26 performances, and normally you'd be a bit sick of a play, I think, by then. But I'm really, really looking forward to performing it again. It's fun. Yeah.
This is something I'm going to ask a lot of people that come in and talk to me. Is this? Do you find that the audiences make these festivals, that you get different audiences each night? And like, how different is it as an actor to kind of like, if you've got a great audience that really responds to the play, how hard is it as an actor to change between these different audiences?
That's a really interesting question, because the audiences make the entire difference. It's particularly, I think, for a one-woman play, between a performance that you think has gone really well, one that is really good, and one that isn't. There is a huge dependence, I think, from an actor to an audience. The performance will be fine with no feedback at all, and sometimes it's easier to concentrate in that situation because you just actually get on with the play. But if the audience can lift you with a bit of response, I think it will be better, the performance. What can happen, and I think it's only happened twice to me, and I know, and I'm aware of it now, is that if the audience, I'm not saying I've only ever had two good audiences, but twice I've been distracted because the audience have been so good, I've fallen into the trap of listening to them.
Yeah.
Instead of actually, you know, almost wanting to join in because they're, you know.
Yeah, they're enjoying it
fun.
So much.
Yeah.
You think, I quite a lot watch this play.
You almost find yourself part of the audience, and then you forget and think, no, actually, it's my job to entertain them, you know. And it does sort of stop me in my tracks, and I think, no, actually, concentrate. You can't afford to indulge in this. But yeah, a responsive audience is going to, I think, will add another 30% of the quality of the audience, of the performance, definitely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, 10 Questions is on then. It's on the Embassy Club.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which is just over the road from us, really, isn't it?
If you look at the Civic Hall, to the left of the Civic Hall is a car park entrance, and down that car park entrance on the left is the Embassy Club. It's got the Stratford Fringe banner hanging in, lots of bunting and posters in the windows.
We've gone wild with the bunting in here as well. It's fantastic. And then Double Booked is on again at the Embassy Club.
Yeah.
And that's the 3rd of June.
Next Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. So we've got at the Embassy Club the 28th and Monday the 30th.
Yeah. That's 10 questions.
Yeah, 10 questions. And then Double Booked the following week, which
Perfect.
Is brilliant. So I'm going to try and go to both
Thank
of those.
Thank you. Great.
Which is brilliant. Right. Thank you so much for coming
in.
It's really, really interesting. And I really, really can't wait, especially this double book. It's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in. That's great. Thanks, Ginny.
Thanks.
Stratcast Lunch, live from the Stratford Fringe.
I've been joined by a fantastic guest. I've been joined by Fiona Cox. Fiona is part of the Occasional Orchestra. Now, we've just been having a chat about the Occasional Orchestra. How occasional are the orchestra?
I'm actually not a part of the Occasional Orchestra. I'm opening for them because they play with Darren Mitchell.
Yeah.
But I think what it is, it's a roaming band of friends who, they don't always all turn up to every single gig. So I think that's how they get around it. I think there's several.
We were having a bit of a debate. We didn't know if it was like occasional in like birthdays, bar mitzvahs, weddings, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or occasional like, yeah, we might turn up, we might not.
I think it's a bit like that. Yeah, like there's about nine of them and then
so your gig might be longer than you planned then.
Yeah.
Right, now, where are you from? Are you from around here, Stratford?
No,
or?
I'm from Berkshire.
Ooh.
Yes.
So
that's where I grew up.
Oh, cool. What's attracted you then to the Fringe then this year?
Oh, well, I work up here now. I'm living in Leamington. I work over here in Stratford. So, and I'm actually good friends with Daryl, who it's Daryl's Occasional Orchestra.
Ah.
So he said, oh, come along and play. Come along and play at the Dirty Duck on next Thursday night.
Yeah, everyone loves the Dirty Duck around here. Like,
I know.
Go to the RSC, Dirty Duck afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, so, I work for the RSC as well. And I think it's written in our contract that we're only allowed to drink there.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's the rule.
You just have to drink every night after work.
No alcohol would be consumed anywhere else in town.
What a shame.
Yeah.
We get a lot of guests in and they talk about their music and stuff. We ask the same question. So where do you get your inspiration from? And where did your band name come from? All of this. But you just said, oh, I went to LA for... How long did you go for initially?
Well, I originally went to visit for 6 weeks, back when I finished my A-levels.
Yeah.
And, but then I ended up staying sort of accidentally for 3.5 years.
Accidentally.
Oops.
Something I've got to do.
I was
go
supposed
home.
That's right. I was supposed to be on a flight. I kind of went back and forth a few times before customs pulled me to one side and said, excuse me, madam, what are you doing here? So I thought about that point, it might be a good time to get a visa. So I ended up going to school. I went to university and studied for a while. I got a visa and sort of did it the proper way, and used it as a good excuse to play around the town. Really, go to as many places in Hollywood as I could, and sort of.
And you performed a lot in and around LA as well.
I did on the Sunset Strip. So I played at the Whiskey A Go Go. That was kind of fun. You know, obviously not in its heyday. The Doors weren't there, but it was nice to look up and see Whiskey A Go Go and see my name in lights, as it were. Those kind of things.
Well, it must be so different then coming back here from sunny LA to a very a very soggy Stratford upon Avon.
Yes, and it is today. Oh my goodness, it is. Oh, I'm glad I brought my umbrella. It is pouring it down.
Mm.
Yes, no, it was very different. I tend to play a lot in Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
But actually, it's kind of a slightly different scene, I think, because it's very folky and people are very friendly and you're kind of getting invited to play lots of places. I think sometimes in LA it can be quite competitive. So while people, if they think you're good, it's a threat rather than enjoyable. Sometimes, so it's kind of nice here. It's kind of a warmer in a friendly kind of way. Certainly not warmer in a weather kind of way.
Yeah,
but it's nice to be home.
Are you excited then? Playing at the Dirty Duck.
I am. Yes, I have played there once or twice before with the RSC Ensemble. They sometimes used to do these acoustic nights, so I've played a couple of times, but only one or two songs. But I think I'm doing a 40-minute set on Thursday.
That'd be
so
great.
I'm looking forward to that.
I've just been trying to I've got this list of things that I've got a pass that I can go around all these things for.
Oh yeah.
And most of the free ones that actually look a little bit better than some of the really expensive ones.
Oh really?
And I'm trying to plan kind of my days, but the things, they all start at the same time, so I might kind of pop over and see you for a bit, and then I missed that one. And then,
don't say which one.
Yeah,
no names.
There's another one as well, which I quite fancy. So it's just trying to plan which one to go to.
Well, I'll be doing 40 minutes, and then Daryl, I expect, will be playing at least an hour. Daryl and the Occasional Orchestra.
Cool.
So,
we'll definitely pop along for that. And I'll hopefully catch up with you on the night as well.
Great, I shall look forward to it. Thanks, James.
Exclusive access to the Stratford Fringe.
This must be Stratcast Radio.